Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The gospel story for this weekend is found in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, it begs the question, why is this story so important that three out of the four evangelists thought it was important enough to include in their gospels? Well, I think it's because Jesus is teaching the apostles and now us an incredibly important characteristic of discipleship, and that is humility. Remember last week in the gospel, Jesus taught us, he described exactly what discipleship is all about, what it looks like. Jesus said, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and come and follow after Christ. Well, now this weekend, Jesus is teaching us an indispensable virtue that must be practiced if we are to follow after Christ. And that virtue is humility. Notice how the gospel story begins. It says, Jesus was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. Do the apostles understand this? No, not at all. It says, they had been discussing amongst themselves on the way who was the greatest. Now here Jesus reveals to the apostles something that is monumental, that his mission will culminate on him climbing the cross and dying and rising to new life. You would think that the apostles would be shocked and shaken by this, that they would be deeply concerned. Yet they're not. That news goes right over their heads. Instead, they are concerned most about who is the greatest among them. They're concerned about themselves. Now remember, last week in the gospel, we talked about and learned how the Israelites for centuries have been praying for a warrior, a general-type Messiah that would conquer the Roman army and then reestablish Israel as the economic and the military superpower it once enjoyed during the time of King David. The apostles see that in Jesus. They know he's going to be the Messiah. And now they're jockeying for position to find out what positions or what appointments Jesus is going to make for them when he ushers in his new administration or his new government. They want to know where they're going to be on the pecking order when Jesus comes to power. And yet, how often do we see this in the Gospels? The apostles, they don't understand who Jesus is, nor do they understand his message. They don't understand because they're navel-gazing. They're more concerned about themselves and their own self-interest, that their own ambition has blinded them to the truth. And yet, that is the hidden danger for all of us, and we must be on our guard against this. Sometimes it's part of human nature that we spend time worrying about where we are on the pecking order, whether it's at work or in the neighborhood or amongst our friends. We are sometimes concerned about how others perceive us in the world. Are we climbing up the corporate ladder or maybe descending the ladder? Whatever it is, human beings tend to have these feelings or these thoughts from time to time. And yet we must be on our guard against them because, like the apostles, our ambition can blind us from the truth that is staring at us right in front of our face. And so what does Jesus do? How does he respond? It says, he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. It's a basic spiritual truth Greatness in God's eyes is not measured in power, honor, or social status of this world. Rather, greatness in God's eye is measured by humility and service to others. Now, where is this clearly seen? Well, in the lives of the saints. The saints are saints in their own right because they dedicated their lives to serving others. They were not concerned about their own self-interest. They were not concerned or worried about where they were in the pecking order. Instead, the only concern they had was serving others, whether it was serving the poor like St. Francis of Assisi, whether it was serving people who did not have access to health care like Mother Cabrini, or whether it was serving the African and Native American population of our country like St. Catherine Drexel. Regardless of the saints, they were people who were consumed with serving others in this world. They were not blinded by ambition, nor were they constantly jockeying for position. The saints were people who dedicated themselves in service to others. Now, a common thread that was woven amongst all the saints is the great virtue of humility. The saints practiced and lived out this humility every day of their life. Now, humility comes from the Latin root word humus, which means ground. If we truly practice the virtue of humility, we are now grounded in who we are in relationship with God. Our humility keeps us rooted or grounded in the knowledge that we are God's faithful servants. The daily practice of humility keeps us always grounded in that awareness and knowledge. And yet, what's the danger? We can be uprooted. How? Our ambition, our pride, our self-interest, they can all uproot us from that groundedness. Now, what does Jesus do next in the gospel story? It says, taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. Now Jesus is challenging the apostles. The apostles, he knows, are filled with ambition and they're concerned about their own social status. And yet, this child now becomes a symbol of just the opposite of that. What we have to understand is that in the ancient world, a child did not have any social or legal status. In some ways, we could say that a child or children in the ancient world were considered social nobodies because they had no status whatsoever. And see, herein lies the challenge. Jesus challenges the apostles not to think in terms of social status or ambition. What is required for true discipleship? A humility that necessitates casting aside pride, ambition, and status, and willing to become a social nobody. Once again, go back to the saints. Some of the greatest saints in our church were some of the greatest social nobodies. Granted, they did extraordinary work, but many a time it was never noticed or recognized by the world, and they didn't care about that. And so too must we. We must be social nobodies ourselves. We must live a life of discipleship without any fanfare, any applause, without any promotions or titles. All the good work that we will do probably will never be noticed by many people, yet it doesn't make a difference. The only person that will notice the good work that we do as disciples of Christ will be God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now notice, Jesus, it says, he puts his arms around this child. By placing this child in their midst and by embracing the child, now Jesus changes the conversation from teaching the apostles what it means to serve others, now to identifying those people that we truly are to serve. By embracing this child, Jesus displays his acceptance of the child as worthy of respect, love, and care. Take it a step further. This is a great symbolic gesture for us all. Jesus is showing the apostles that this child is not a social nobody, but is a somebody worthy of God's love, respect, and compassion. Well, so too are we. Nobody here is a social nobody, but instead everyone here is a somebody. Everyone here is worthy of God's love, care, and compassion. Take it a step further. What does Jesus say to the apostles? Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. Well, now Jesus is identifying himself with this child, with social nobodies. Essentially, Jesus is telling the apostles and now us, this social nobody is one of my own. The symbolism here is rich. Jesus' love and mercy transcends all cultures, races, creeds, all socioeconomic backgrounds. Everyone here in this world is worthy of God's love and mercy, especially those that our society looks down upon, those that are marginalized, the poor, the sick, and the lowly. Now Jesus identifies himself with them, and so too must we, if we are to truly go out and serve them. I'll leave you with just one last thought. There's a wonderful story about Mother Teresa. She was interviewed once by a reporter, and the reporter asked her, "How can you continue to minister to these people, to the poor, the homeless, the sick, and the dying? You do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the past 30 or 40 years. How do you keep from burning out?" Mother Teresa looked at the reporter and she said, "It's because I look into their faces." She says, "I hold a tiny infant and I feed that infant and I look into the face of that infant and I see the face of Christ. I change the bandages of a homeless person. And when I do that, I look into the person's face and I see the face of Christ. As I hold the hand of a person that's dying, I look into their face and I see the face of Christ." And she says, "When I see the face of Christ in these people, I am naturally compelled to help them." My friends, I strongly encourage you, please take some time this week, read the gospel passage from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 30 to 37. In it, Jesus teaches us an important virtue that we must be able to live into, the virtue of humility, if we truly are to be genuine and sincere followers of Jesus Christ. Better yet, we must also be able to identify with those people that we are to serve in this world. We must be able to look into their faces, see the face of Christ, and then go and help them. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.